Singer Nelly Furtado apologized over Twitter yesterday for getting paid $1 million in 2007 for performing for dictator Muammar Gaddafi, the Charlie Sheen of Libya. The news comes under a growing realization that pop stars for years have been making big bucks performing for some of the world's most cruel and sinister tyrants. On today's show, we talk about the impact artists can have on political change and how the song Ain't Gonna Play Sun City helped bring an end to apartheid in South Africa.
Rumor has it that Oscar co-hosts James Franco and Anne Hathaway are not talking to each other after Sunday night's horribly boring program. Maybe next year we'll get the Kardashians, Andy Dick, Snooki, and Charlie Sheen to host the Oscars all at the same time. They are all bye winners. Scandal broke out over yesterday's guest, Russian gay rights activist Nikolai Alexeyev, for criticizing Israel's support of Egypt's now ousted President Mubarak. He's been labeled anti-Semitic, and he was almost forced to cancel his tour to California. Activist Andy Thayer fills us in on the personal vendetta some gay rights activists have against Alexeyev and grassroots movements in general.
Plus, breast milk ice cream confiscated from a London store.
Christina Aguilera and her boyfriend arrested in West Hollywood.
New iPads coming out today.
And we go in-depth into Lady Gaga's new video, Born This Way, the sexual imagery, and Orlan, the performance artist who uses plastic surgery and video to express herself.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. I feel pretty, I feel pretty, I feel pretty and witty and, how's that go again?
Gay, Fausto, it's gay. What's up?
Are you sure about that?
Why are you singing West Side Story?
You know, because I'm still not over what they did to my people.
The Puerto Rican peoples.
The Puerto Rican peoples, when they turned West Side Story into a major motion picture and they had actors pretending to be Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
As if they couldn't find talented people like Rita Moreno to be in that movie.
They did have Rita Moreno in that movie.
Oh.
Was Cheetah Rivera in that movie too?
I think so. She played the maid. I don't know.
I think they were all maids, weren't they?
Yeah.
Seamstresses. They were
gang members.
Those are the guys.
I am the West Side Story equivalent of podcasting. I got a knife of wit and intelligence, and I'm ready to stab it in the face of injustice.
Stab away.
Girl, it's like, what is going on with the Oscars? This might have been one of the worst Oscars ever.
Everybody's saying it. And we said it the other night when we had that wonderful show with Joe. I enjoy Joe being on the show. I can't wait for him to come back. But I mean, everybody's just saying that it was just such a bomb. And it was a bomb. And then we just find out that they took out all the good gay stuff.
I know. What's going on? Edited out. Josh Brolin and Javier Bardem, when they came onto the stage, dressed up like cater waiters. Mm-hmm. They brought everybody something to eat, mm-hmm. something to drink. Mm-hmm. And then they started dancing around and kissed each other on the lips.
Mm-hmm. But they cut it out. They didn't really cut it out, I should say. Instead of focusing on them kissing, they focused on Penelope Cruz in the audience.
Going, oh my God, the kissing.
And people are like, we wondered why they focused on her for that long, because that's how long they were trying to hide it from us.
And then so on online, different forums have been people getting up in arms saying, why do we even care? It's like that there's so much injustice and so much anger in the world. Why focus on this little trite thing?
Because they're erasing gay people's presence. They're saying, this, don't look at this. It's not there. It's the same kind of thing in the UK. This couple, an older couple who are Christians, were denied the right to foster children because they said, I'm not going to be able to not say that gay is bad. And they're like, well, if this kid is gay and you're telling this kid, you know, this is bad, and when we know people are born this way, then you're probably fucking with this kid's mind. And no, you can't have the kid.
And then the kid won't be able to watch Lady Gaga's new video for Born This Way.
And then be saved. Hallelujah.
Baby,
hallelujah.
I was born this way.
Mother Hubbard.
Oh my God. So did you stay up like, you know, basically it was like Christmas, you know, with Lady Gaga's new video.
Oh yeah.
I've never been excited about, I don't get excited about things in these days, you know,
mm-hmm.
not even the new iPad, which is coming out today. Brand new iPad version 2. I don't know anything about it. This is just all speculation and rumors.
It's going to have a camera?
It will have a camera.
Wow. Let's buy it through our links. If you buy anything through iTunes or Amazon, just find any link through our website.
Yeah, on the sidebar. Yeah. Somebody, we have the links on the sidebar. Yeah. You buy it through there, and then we get 5%. Yeah.
Somebody just bought some Kindles the other day, and they said, I hope you get a little piece of it.
A Kindle?
Some Kindles through the Amazon.
Ah, it's the iPad that only does one thing.
Yes.
Cool. It's not a feat. It's not a bug. It's a feature, people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess, you know, it's important to have diversity. And at the same time, it's also important to have context and a sense of humor about everything, honey. Because if they rob your ability to laugh, they have taken away your soul.
They win.
The terrorists win when you cannot laugh. Mm-hmm. So the haters win.
What'd you think of the Lady Gaga video?
The Lady Gaga video was delicious. It was vaginally orgasmic. I love that prism kaleidoscope effect whenever they use it in any commercial. For example, the Fruitopia ads in the late 90s.
What do you mean the prism? What kind of effect?
The prism effect when they take invert in quadrants or in larger sections.
Or halves.
To create like the, you know, like you're standing in front of a mirror, sort of like in the music video, The Wild Wild West, where they had a disembodied hand playing a tambourine, which was really freaky. You remember that?
Kind of.
Living in the 90s, heading for the Wild Wild West.
And you had like, here, like,
you had this like tambourine going, The Wild Wild West.
Wild West.
And I thought that it was really interesting the way that Lady Gaga has built her visual language as an industry, because it is not just Lady Gaga is sort of like Oprah. It really should be called House of Gaga with featuring Lady Gaga, because it's an industry of people working together to make something fabulous. And those people have taken this is my generation of people. We went to college. We were breastfed from the tits of the Amanda Galas and Karen Finley. And this is the babies we've produced. We were breastfed on performance art and counterculture and crazy shit. And
postmodernism.
Postmodernism with Annie Sprinkle. This is the result. And I am thrilled to see it being continued and reaching a mainstream audience. When I was a performance artist in the early 90s, this is what I wanted to see done with all my friends' work. So to me, I'm tremendously excited about what Lady Gaga represents, because it really does signify profound change in culture. And it's not just some very, very good musician, very well-intentioned young woman from the Upper West Side in New York City, Stephanie Germanotta, under the name of Lady Gaga, making it big. I would hate to live in a world where Britney Spears was the number one pop artist.
With the paint coming out of her fingernails and a wedding dress spraying stuff with product placement everywhere.
Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. You know, Britney Spears needs to quit. Just stop it. Leave Britney alone. Chris Crocker said it, and we should listen to what Chris has to say.
But she's got more followers on Twitter than Lady Gaga does. She beat her, so.
She did. Listen, it's a war. It's a culture war. People still love Britney.
And the song's not too bad. I mean, it's pop music. It's bubblegum stuff. But that video is just, I mean, it's just goddamn hell. Britney Spears one. Actually, Lady Gaga's does actually feature a scene from hell. It
seems, yes.
When mother gave birth and then evil came, and
there's so much happening in that video. What we really should do if we're ambitious is to do a video commentary where people can play an audio track and watch the music video play in real time, and then they can hear us commenting, because there's so much information being packed into
A lot of it. I mean, there's images of ovaries, there's birth, there's, you know, when you did that prism effect, it looked like, you know, it was like, oh, there's her hermy dick, but then
vaginal
all of a sudden,
too, because it's like the way that they cross section her, it makes it look into this, you know, kaleidoscopic vagina. And I think it's so radical that this is on like mainstream television.
Well, they think it might be edited down if it goes on MTV or something. Yeah, because she does that whole like jerking off symbol, and so you think that's gonna make it?
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know.
So what do you think about the Cthulhu mythos? H.P. Lovecraft's world, where, you know, it's almost like Scientology, that she begins the video like, there was the good and the evil in the dawn of mankind, and a race that could know no hate.
It's the creation story.
It is.
From the very beginning. But then how do you have this without evil to defend it? You're like, oh, Lady Gaga, you're totally blowing my mind.
Dude. I love it. You know, I love the fact that she has now a genetically engineered shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. And those are a direct reference to performance artist Orlan, who is best known for using plastic surgery as a medium for self-expression. Mm. She did this in the early to mid-90s, and even part of getting images and body parts of some of art history's most famous women and going to a plastic surgeon and say, give me the Venus de Milo's hips. Give me Marilyn Monroe's lips. Give Ooh. Me Moses's horns.
She got horns actually put on?
She got horns stuck onto her head, and I guess she had some surgery problems. And then for Europe MTV in Europe, mm-hmm. she made these crazy music videos with her like on a surgery table getting plastic surgery and all this grotesque, what is the term called when they stick something in your mouth and they... For liposuction, you know, they try to pump fat in and pull it out.
Oh, like the filler when they're trying to fill, they filled her face with
something.
Yeah,
and it just looks like they're basically like raping her with a surgeon's tool, you know, and it just looks horrific.
It's like one of those vacuum things. Yes. They're sucking fat out and then they put it other places. Yeah.
And she's like, she's doing this. She had all these surgeries done. So she was conscious. And then she had all this like art, mm-hmm. like plastic lobsters and the surgeons in costumes, and she had like a film crew videotaping her while she was reading postmodern theory at the same time getting plastic surgery in costume. So my friend Martian DeLellis in college, he described Born This Way's video very much infused with a lot of Orlan's imagery. Mm. And it's interesting because for my graduate thesis, Martian made a dream sequence that was referencing Orlan's plastic surgery videos, only in this time he had Michael Jackson instead of Orlan having all the plastic surgery.
Well, I posted on Facebook, like, what did people see in there? And John Cortez says, is it referencing unseen footage from Alfred Hitchcock's colonoscopy? Because
what?
Because that's what I thought of it. There's some haters on here. And then Corey Album says, she likes to have slimy things in a vajayjay. I think Gaga should trip and fall on something sharp from her own costume and impale herself. God, I can't stand her. So,
oh, come on, people.
I said to John,
that's jealousy.
I said, there's definitely some kind of like vertigo going on there from in the opening sequence to with Alfred Hitchcock. And then to Corey, I said, haters die young, which I really do believe. So if you just hate something, just to hate it.
It's easy to hate her, though, mm-hmm. because, look, it also represents the fact that we would all like to be multimillionaires mm-hmm. living in palatial mansions and performing for some of the world's most horrific dictators and tyrants.
We'll get to that later,
but you know, we would all like to live comfortable lives, and not of all of us live comfortable lives, and a lot of us struggle, and to see somebody's comfortable life made even more comfortable by appropriating and using and developing a lot of the imagery that we've developed, mm-hmm. it can be frustrating,
right?
But I celebrate it.
But there's a lot of it in there. And Angela Wells touches on this too. She goes, just off the top of my head, sci-fi fantasy films of the 70s and 80s like mm-hmm. Zardoz, Flash Gordon, Crawl, Neverending Story, and Dune. Also, the artwork of H.R. Geiger, who did Aliens, right? Yeah. Fritz Lang's Metropolis, Marilyn Mason, Marlena Dietrich, and of course, Madonna, and oh yeah, Michael Jackson at the end.
Yeah, what did you think about the fact that, you know, in the 90s, when we wanted to, as drag queens, impersonate Madonna, mm-hmm. what you do is you take a little bit of black tooth wax mm-hmm. and make a gap in the middle of your teeth.
And you're instant Madonna.
It looked just like Madonna. And Lady Gaga did that at the end of her video. In fact, I created a montage comparing it. She looks so much like Madonna. Of course, the headline is, I don't think they look anything like each other.
Well, other people say, no, she's really challenging Marilyn Mason there. Manson.
Well, Marilyn Manson does mm-hmm. not have teeth, does not look like that.
Yeah, because I think
Madonna's teeth do look like that.
That's true.
And so the fact that she's also referencing Express Yourself, which the song also references, mm-hmm. by crawling around on all fours. Granted, she did not lick milk off of a bowl like Madonna does. Mm-hmm. Of course, Madonna eats all her meals from a bowl like a cat.
All of her meals. What did you think of Zombie Boy in a tuxedo with Lady Gaga, kind of inspired by his look?
I love that moment in the video. I love disturbing, strange imagery that's part of American culture. Mm-hmm. It's certainly minstrel, racist imagery is very interesting to me as an artist. The film,
because you're saying, because yeah. Zombie Boy, let's so these people understand what we're talking. Sure. In case you haven't seen it, Zombie Boy has tattoos all over his entire body, so he looks like a skeleton. And here they have him dressed up in a tuxedo, and that reminded you of like
Al Jolson and the Jazz Singer. Yeah. and all this sort of the tradition of dressing up like a very disturbing racist cliche of what white people used to think black people look like. Mm-hmm. And it was, very disgusting and horrific imagery. And to me, I think it's really fun and cool how Lady Gaga appropriates that subtly into this, into the way that it's lit and the fact that they're wearing tuxedos, for example.
I thought of it more of as like a, kind of like the Day of the Dead, kind of Mexican inspired, like cult of death.
Dia de los Muertos thing going on there too.
But not necessarily minstrel, but just because they're wearing tuxedos, yeah, I can kind of get it. And of course, she is also a performer.
Well, later on in the video, like she's in dark silhouette and all you can see is her white gloves glowing. Mm-hmm. And that definitely is another, reference to minstrel culture. You know, it's a horrible part of American, of our history, but it is a part of our history. And I think it's interesting and dangerous to play with this kind of stuff. And I salute any artist that can successfully pull it off.
And what did you think of all the, like the sludge that she was just like always around?
I love the sludge. You know, that's another thing about performance art. You know, Karen Finley, in the 90s, she would speak out against homophobia and racism and sexism and injustice by standing up on stage in bars, mostly where people could not give a damn about what she was saying, and got their attention because she walked out naked like Lady Gaga, pulled out chocolate syrup and yams and sprouts and all sorts of metaphors and slithered it and covered her body in it. In the mid-90s, me, Karen Lewis, and Kirthy Fix, who you've heard here on the show, we went and did a musical based on Hansel and Gretel, where Martha Stewart is the witch, called Food. And I play the witch, Martha Stewart, who runs a chain of organic grocery stores. And at the end, I meet my death at the hands of my abused employees. And I'm literally, I'm dying of cancer. So it's imagine Martha Stewart dying of cancer, being tied to a chair, very much like Pulp Fiction, tortured and covered with food. Mayonnaise, chocolate syrup, tomato sauce, potato chips.
And then they eat you?
And then they chop me into little bits. Grind me up into organic beef on sale. and so to me, it's like, I just love seeing all that crazy, intense, juicy, sexual, orgasmic imagery.
And so also at the end too, though, they show her or a silhouette of her riding a unicorn in a pink triangle. And the pink triangle, as we all know, is like the Nazi symbol. And then the gays have
for gays.
And the gays have adopted it. But when did unicorns exactly, when do you think there was that paradigm shift that unicorns, because they used to represent like virginity in medieval times, because they used to say that a unicorn would only ever come to a young virgin woman. That's why, of course, nobody ever found a unicorn, because there weren't any virgins around, because people were getting fucked at very young ages. But when did unicorns become like a gay thing?
Well, I think, Sir Neil Patrick Harris's poster for the sequel to Harold and Kumar's movie, where he's riding a unicorn, certainly brought it further into people's public consciousness.
Well, there was also Planet Unicorn. When did that come out?
That's also a viral thing. It was a very successful, shortly-lived web series about three gay unicorns living on a magical planet conceived by a little boy who had supernatural powers. Planet Unicorn, hey!
Or was it because like unicorns were often pictured with like rainbows? Mm-hmm. And so was it kind of like people like, well, there's a rainbow, and there's a which is a symbol for gay people, and now there's a unicorn there, and so unicorns must be gay too.
Well, I'm reading here on different forums. There also Queer Eye for the Straight Guys, Carson Kressley put a successful children's book about a gay unicorn.
Oh.
And
so that was probably what, like turn of the century?
Yeah.
2003 or two.
Mm-hmm. And also you know, it's the rainbow, but also the fact that it's like the horn of the unicorn is kind of like a phallic symbol.
Oh, and it's a penis, yeah. And probably little girls would have like unicorns and boys would say, unicorns, they're so gay, and then like being negative, but then all of a sudden it, you know, it morphed into, yes, they really are gay.
So yeah, unicorns certainly have become now a LGBT rights symbol, and I think it's also because of its supernatural mysticism tied to, you know, it's one of like God's creatures that never made it into the ark, you know, sort of like LGBT people are sort of frowned upon by the traditional church, and in a lot of ways, we're the creatures that were tried to be killed off by the great flood, but we survived.
So if any listeners out there know when unicorns became like a gay symbol, please let us know, because we already know
at what
the history.
Point in time.
Yes, because we already know like who we know the guy who invented like the rainbow flag, but you know the unicorns, I don't know.
Do you know why the rainbow flag has six colors and not like eight?
Because they didn't have enough fabric, right?
They ran out of pink fabric, so they just threw out other colors, and they just said, let's just do it six. It's much cheaper
not
that way.
Not pink, but
they threw out
indigo,
pink.
Indigo, violet.
It used to have
not in the rainbow.
I'm holding here a gay rainbow flag. So right now, the modern rainbow flag has six colors, which is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, or they call it indigo, too, and purple. Now, they used to have turquoise. Between the green and the blue, and they used to have pink next to the red.
Oh, it's the original flag.
The original flag. That was how it was designed, because, honey, you cannot stick enough colors in the rainbow flag.
Because the flag of the Inca nation, like in South America, is also a rainbow flag, and
it's a six-striped one?
I don't know if it's exactly the same. I'd have to go and look, but it's very similar. So when I was in, you know, the Andes, I kept looking around, and I'm like, oh my God, there's gay people everywhere, and they're like, that's the flag for for the Incas.
Well, also, it's interesting, a lot of Native American women-centric shaman people also use the rainbow as a symbol for their religious beliefs. And so you're like going, is she a lesbian? Is she a shaman, Wiccan priestess? Or is she a Native American? I'm not sure which, or is she all of the above? You know, because a good symbol is a good symbol and a good idea is a good idea. So they, back in the 1960s, and when they were going to build the rainbow flag again for a gay pride parade, they ran out of the pink fabric.
Wow.
So they said, fuck it, literally. And they
made
the rainbow.
We've all been there.
We've all been there, honey. Sometimes, you know, you just gotta, economy is the mass, is the
it's birth, what drives it.
Is the midwife to powerful symbols.
Ah, the midwife.
The midwife, which is all back to Lady Gaga. I cannot stop thinking about babies and breast milk and breastfeeding and all this stuff, because it's hot in fashion.
Gaga.
Baby Gaga ice cream. Is this ice cream made from babies?
No, it's not made from gay babies. It's made from breast milk, and it's at a store called Ice Creamists.
Ice Creamists.
Like Gothamists or Nerdists.
Nerdist.
So, and it's from in London. This guy decided, hey, I'm going to make breast milk ice cream and sell it and serve it with a little vanilla bean and make it nice and tasty.
I hope he put sugar in it.
I'm sure. People have been buying it. But now the health department has come in and said, you can't make this anymore. And he's saying, hey, you know, these people they've been tested just as you would test somebody for like a blood disease. But, you know, you never know. It's like one day you could have hepatitis. The next day you don't. You do. And you can get viruses can survive cold temperatures. So
technically you could have eaten this ice cream, the Gaga. It was a baby Gaga ice cream.
Baby Gaga.
And got hepatitis because some crack mom, baby crack mama, showed up and said, I'll give my breast milk. My baby don't need it. She can take care of herself.
Well,
here's my breast milk.
He got these ladies from Craigslist, so come on. I mean, what do you know?
I mean, they might be, have a little hepatitis in that ice cream.
And the thing is, though, too, it's like when you produce breast milk, it's not like you're producing like a gallon a day or anything like that. I mean, how much ice cream could you possibly make?
Well, they said it was very limited and very expensive. I think they were charging, $30-$40 for a little scoop.
Now, if I knew the woman, I might taste it, but I'm just like thinking to myself, like, I would never taste it because that's, what are the four body fluids you can get HIV from?
Oh, really? Or is this a quiz?
Yeah, I'm going to quiz you, Foster. What are the four bodily fluids you can get?
Blood.
Yes.
That's an obvious one.
Okay.
Sperm.
Yes.
Correct.
Semen.
Semen. Not urine, though. Urine is not one of
them. Not urine.
I know everybody gets that one wrong. It's not urine. Breast milk.
Yes.
Because we've been talking about. And the fourth one, gay men never get.
What
is it? Let's just let the listeners think about it for a second. Did you guess vagina juices? You guessed correct. So vaginal fluids is how gay men get HIV.
No.
Well, not really.
No, that's how you spread it.
You get it from, you might get it if you have sex from, you know, somebody who has a STD, like Lady Gaga. Well, if
Baby
Lady
Gaga.
If Lady Gaga actually had an STD, we don't know if she does or not, and you had sex with her in her video for Born This Way, then you might have gotten an STD because, you know.
Usually the thing that most people forget is they forget the breast milk.
That's breast milk, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that most people always forget. They usually get semen, they usually get blood, they usually get vag-J.
But JJ juice.
But JJ juice, but the breast milk one they don't usually get.
Well, it's that when I always get a HIV test, I always say it's like, oh, you know, blood, sperm, and pee. And they're like, wrong!
No, pee, you could drink pee by the gallon and be all right.
I know somebody who walks around, listens to the show, walks around with a urinal mask. At these sexual fetish parties, he came up to me and he was like, he took his urinal mask off and he's like, I love listening to the show. And I was like, what is going on with that mask? And the fact that you cannot get enough urine in your mouth that you want to wear a mask in the shape of a urinal.
That's one of those things you want me to pee in that. I ate lots of asparagus today. I'm ready to pee.
Ooh, Lord have mercy, honey. It's like, I know I'm all for diversity and tolerance, but sometimes babies, you push me. I mean, it's like, I you know, more power to you. It's safe and consensual.
Now,
but
some people I post, because I posted this blog entry on the site, and people have said that, like, well, you know, there's people that eat, like, unpasteurized milk. I mean, that's when you know, like, the source of where that cow comes from.
Can people get hepatitis from cows?
I don't know if you can get hepatitis from cows, but I know you can get some kinds of diseases from cows. That's why they started pasteurizing milk, because people were getting sick. And when you're dealing with like mass markets, that's when it becomes a concern. If it's just you and me and our pet cow, no problem, because who's going to get sick? It's just you and me.
It's consensual.
But when you're dealing with like a mass market, then lots of people can get sick. And that's why like the health department, they don't come in and regulate your home kitchen, but they're certainly regulating kitchens and restaurants because lots of people can come in there.
Wow.
And you don't want to get people sick.
Well, were they pasteurizing this milk for Baby Gaga ice cream or not? I think they were.
They would have had to have,
yeah,
right?
They pasteurized it. Pasteurized it just means that bringing it up to a boil.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to do that if you're going to make banking ice cream, I think.
No, I bet you don't have to. But
I mean, the times I've made ice cream, I always had to bring the milk up to a boil. And then I always had problems because I wanted to mix in the... when we had an ice cream maker, I always wanted to mix the eggs in, and I just got scrambled eggs and sweet milk. Not a good ice cream mixture.
I don't think I've ever really made really good ice cream at home. It's always turned out kind of weird.
Basically, like a good ice cream recipe is kind of like a good custard recipe. Only, you know, you chill it, and so that's the whole properties of ice cream.
You gotta stir it and aerate it at the right time.
Oh my God, so I was reading this like blog entry on Cracked that chocolate, the world supplies of chocolate are dwindling.
Oh no.
And the price of chocolate is quickly growing to the point that in the near future, in 10 years from now, we might not be able to consume it or get a hold of it.
It'll be like gold?
It'll be as rarer than caviar.
No.
Yeah, because they're saying that the temperate region where chocolate grows, the cacao plant, is very limited. And geographically, a lot of the countries that have that favorite, the good region, are run by very unstable governments that cannot sustain it. And then the countries that do have access to those regions, a lot of them are using slavery and child slavery to grow the chocolate.
Aww.
And so because there is a push, thank God, for to erase slavery from certain parts of Africa, that the price of chocolate is going up.
Well, but you never know. There could be scientific advances. You might be able to, who knows, maybe someday you'll be able to grow chocolate in your backyard.
I'm sure that genetic engineers are working to grow a chocolate plant that can grow in your own backyard. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there are people out there without chocolate. There will be consequences. Hand over the chocolate and no one gets hurt.
Well, you never know. You know? Like, chocolate flavoring might improve. Who knows? You might not even miss it at all.
I know. Let's talk about another thing. Nelly Furtado,
mm-hmm.
Celebrity pop star, tweeted today, in 2007, I received $1 million from the Gaddafi clan to perform a 45-minute show for guests at a hotel in Italy.
Mm.
I'm going to donate all the money to the... give it back.
She's going to give it to somebody for charity.
Yeah. And, I mean, applause to Nelly Furtado. I guess it just... and yesterday we were talking to gay rights activist Nikolai Alexiev. You know, and I asked him a question. It's like, why isn't Madonna or Elton John or any of these like European queer pop stars coming in solidarity and performing in Russia for the gay pride parade? You know, and
or lending their support for
it. Lending their support. I mean, even Elton John said he would come, you mm-hmm. know. Well, he pointed out that a lot of these rich tyrants behind the scenes and anti-gay politicians all benefit or enjoy their music and are willing to pay millions of dollars to bring mm-hmm. most of your favorite pop stars to perform for private secret parties.
Because mm-hmm. he said, what, George Michael got paid like $3 million to fly to like a suburb of Moscow and do a performance at this, you know, basically a private club.
Yeah, in 2006, it's well documented that Madonna performed in Russia, and it might have been her first and last public gig.
Mm-hmm.
40,000 fans of Madonna managed to see her in Moscow. And when she was up on stage, she said special thanks to Mayor Luzkov.
Yeah, that pissed off Nikolai because he was like, why is he thanking her? He's a homophobe.
Yeah, and he's the one who had been trying to stop gay pride parades from being celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he actually wrote. The question is whether ordinary gays and lesbians asking for their rights are more blasphemous than Madonna crucified on the cross in front of thousands of her fans. Hypocrisy of the mayor, Moscow of mayor, is well known, but with years it's becoming more and more mean and outrageous.
Wow.
So and you know, with Muammar Gaddafi and all these other dictatorships and political leaderships dissolving in light of all this political change, a blog on MSNBC put out a list of all these pop stars that have been for years performing for the tunes of millions of dollars for some of the biggest tyrants in the world.
Like who?
Like Beyonce.
What'd Beyonce do?
She was paid reportedly $2 million to perform for an exclusive party on the Caribbean island of St. Barts in 2009.
Mm.
The bash, funded by Libyan dictator Gaddafi, mm-hmm. Son Hannibal, featured an A-list list
Gaddafi's
of guests.
Gaddafi's son's name is Hannibal?
Hannibal.
Get that. What?
It featured Beyonce's husbands Jay-Z, Lindsay Lohan, Jon Bon Jovi, and supermodels Miranda Kerr and Victoria Silverstedt. Mariah Carey, the year earlier for the same party, was paid $1 million. She's the poor man's Beyonce to do the same party. And with WikiLeaks, we found out that Eric Clapton and Sir Elton John might have performed for the dictator of Iran. South Korea.
Well, they wanted them to spy. We don't know if they did or not.
Well, they were scheduled to perform. We don't know for sure. They were scheduled to perform, and the CIA approached both of them and asked them to spy for the Western nations. So we really don't know if this happened or not, but it's something that got leaked. Mm-hmm. And so it needs to be verified, and it's probably impossible to verify. But what Nikolai Alexiev explained to us yesterday, and was really kind of a bombshell for me, is that most pop stars don't make their money. Their significant income does not come from their music sales or their concert sales or even their merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
It's from performing for these rich tyrants and dictators around the world. So much, in fact, that in the 1980s, in order to fight the apartheid movement, Artists United Against Apartheid, they led a public boycott, which everybody may or may not remember, which is "Ain't Gonna Play Sun City."
Oh, no.
Led by Bruce Springsteen and all these rappers.
That song was huge.
It made a
huge political impact against apartheid.
Yeah, and it was also fear. It made MTV like liberal for a while.
So are we gonna have like "I Ain't Gonna Play for No Dictator" song come up?
I certainly hope so. You know,
if
I had as much power as Quincy Jones, what we need is a gay Quincy Jones to organize Lady Gaga and Madonna and Elton John and all these, you know, because these celebrities, I believe in my heart, they're sincerely for gay rights.
You don't think they're rotten like RuPaul thinks celebrities are rotten?
You know, we really don't know. We don't know who they are. We really don't know who they really are in their hearts. But if I was somebody like Quincy Jones, I would turn to them and say, listen, there's a chance that with your pressure, with your support, you can bring about change in Russia. You know, I mean, talk about little things that we can do to bring about change. For someone like Madonna or Elton John, just showing up there and lending their support for this year's Gay Pride celebration could bring about a lot of change.
Yeah, but you never know. Listen, what's his name from Right Said Fred showed up there and they beat the shit out of him.
But that's Right Said Fred. He's the Cyndi Lauper of gay dance music. If Cyndi Lauper showed up, she better bring some mace and wear Kevlar. That's all I gotta say.
Because it'll be like, you're not Madonna.
You are not Madonna. You are going to jail. That's the difference between Cyndi Lauper and Madonna.
But we need an anthem.
We need an anthem. We need something like "Hate Go Away" in Russia.
You're not going to play for dictators or people that abuse human rights.
We need a Sun City. We need a USA for Africa to support gay rights, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered rights.
How about equality?
Equality without borders. Yes. We need an anthem.
These places that where they treat the women badly are also usually typically pretty bad for gay people as well.
Yeah, but I was wondering, I was thinking about, like, did some of those musicians, like, behind the scenes secretly played for Sun City?
Back?
Yeah. Like, they were singing, "I Ain't Gonna Play Sun City," and then, you know, when no one's looking, they just snuck in there.
Well, I think probably after apartheid was disassembled, or I don't know, when they got rid of it or changed it, maybe then they went back.
Yeah, a lot of these artists, they didn't necessarily play in the countries of these dictators. Chris de Burgh, the British-Irish singer, best known for the song "Lady in Red," was scheduled to be the first artist from the West to perform in Iran from a very long time. But it never panned out.
He never performed there?
Never got to perform there. And then Sting, in November 2010, the singer gave an exclusive performance at the request of Uzbekistan dictator Islam Karimov, his daughter Gulnara.
She was a big fan of his.
She's a big fan of his. He tried to excuse himself by saying that the concert was sponsored by UNICEF, not the king of a dictator, for opening fire on protesters. But that turned out to be a lie.
Who lied?
Who knows? Is there a way to know?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, it's like, well, either... And, you know, and again, Sting could do what Nelly Furtado did and give the money back.
Now, if you were like somebody like Nelly Furtado or Sting and a dictator came up to you and asked you to perform, let's say at like my kid's quinceañera, my daughter's sweet 16th birthday party, how do you get out of it without getting your life threatened?
Well, you just say, "I'm not available." I mean, if you don't want to do it, you just say, "Look, it's not in my schedule."
Right.
Yeah, but simply put.
When will you be available?
Maybe. Oh, I'm very busy.
How about June?
Listen, these celebrities have ways of weaseling out of anything. So, you know, I'm just right now working on my new album, so I really want to dedicate all my time to that, you know.
And it's not that celebrities shouldn't be making a buck, but the other part of it, too, is like, listen, if they're making a buck at the expense of, you know, human suffering, then I think you should.
We need to draw attention to it.
It's our job.
And Madonna should give back the money she got from Luskov and donate it to gay rights in Russia.
She built a school in Malawi.
You know, honey, that's true. Oh, all right. I love Madonna. I don't know. It's very complicated. And I want to see my favorite musicians succeed and mm-hmm. do well and not have to worry about feeding themselves. Because mm-hmm. I know Madonna and Elton John are losing sleep over, you know, whether
they're gonna pay the bills.
Listen, mortgage is gonna pay
these
itself.
These mansions don't, yeah, they gotta get some money.
I don't know. Lionel Richie.
Who'd he perform
for? He performed also for the Libyan dictator.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bob Marley, back in the day.
And Bob Marley before he died?
The Bob Marley performed for Zimbabwe dictator Robert Mugabe.
Oh, yeah. He was a bad guy.
Mugabe. Ironically, he did not want Bob Marley to play. He was hoping for English pop star Cliff Richard. His second choice was Bob Marley, uh-huh. and he got his concert.
Wow.
Wow, huh? James Brown and Celia Cruz performed for Zaire's Mobutu.
Who's that?
Mobutu, you don't...
I don't know who Mobutu is.
He's the president of the Congo.
Oh.
Formerly known as Zaire. May have mm-hmm. been critiqued for his authoritarian ruling tactics, but he sure knew how to book a good concert. In 1974, he brought James Brown, Celia Cruz, and B.B. King, the Spinners, and Bill Withers mm-hmm. to Zaire to perform mm-hmm. for a massive concert ahead of the legendary Rumble in the Jungle fight between Muhammad Ali and George mm-hmm. Foreman. I think it's great. On a positive note, I think it's good to see that music truly is a universal language and that no matter where your politics are, that you're going to embrace music mm-hmm. and that maybe the power of music can bring about change. And these horrific dictators and these tyrants, wherever they are, if they're here in the United States or elsewhere, can be persuaded, their hearts can change through the power of music. Mm. I mean, Elton John, when he performed in Poland, he spoke out against homophobia and he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can see a compromise. Maybe we can see a situation mm-hmm. where these
you want to see Lady Gaga go to Russia and speak out on behalf of gay yeah. rights and get paid. Ka-ching.
Girls got to get paid. She, according to Forbes, she's like the fourth most powerful celebrity right now.
After who? Oprah, of course.
Yeah, actually, Oprah's number one mm-hmm. for the list here, top 10 list. Oprah's number one. Number two is Beyonce.
Wow.
Because, honey, it's like, you don't make $66 million per tour for performing for...
The African-American ladies are ruling.
Yeah. So James Cameron is number three.
Okay. The director.
Lady Gaga's number four. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods still keeps himself at number five.
That golf money.
Britney Spears, number six.
Mm-hmm.
Bono and U2. U2 as a collective is okay. number seven. Sandra Bullock is number eight.
Wow.
Johnny Depp. And poor old Madonna's number 10.
Really? She's on the top 10 still?
She's
well, why
on the top
not?
10. Yeah. Cyndi Lauper's not on that list.
Oh, poor Cyndi. Why do you always pick on Cyndi?
I'm not picking on her. I'm just pointing that out, that she's not on the top 10.
Do you always have to remind Cyndi Lauper what a failure she is?
Hey, guys, be nice to me.
Cyndi. What are you guys doing here?
What are you guys against me? Come on. Come on, guys. Lady Gaga will return my calls.
Oh, she's doing MAC cosmetics without me.
I know. I love Cyndi Lauper. It makes me feel a little bit sorry that they put her on the side of the road.
I know.
You know, they ditched her.
They said, Gaga can do it without you.
Yeah.
Or Gaga's like, get her away from me.
Don't let her touch me. If she touches me, I will leave this room right now.
Who knows? You know, the thing about it is that the fight for equality mm-hmm. is a noble cause.
Yes.
And at the same time, it is a lucrative cause. I mean, it's interesting that the top 10 of these celebrities, half of them are associated with equality in some way or another. You know, that's Oprah, not Beyonce. She don't care about nothing.
Single ladies.
She's for the single ladies, but James Cameron cares about the rights of the Na'vi,
mm-hmm.
a noble cause.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm saying.
People in the rainforest.
Lady Gaga. Tiger Woods.
Get to your point.
Well, I think it's that there's money to be made in fighting for equality, and I'm glad that we live in a world where individuals and corporations are fighting for the gay dollar.
I think it's great. I'd rather mm-hmm. have them fight for the gay dollar than fight for the, you know, mm-hmm. the hate monger's dollar. Mm-hmm. And so at the same time, it is, things get confusing and things get clouded when people fight for these kind of causes and then start attacking each other. Not in the name of equality or in the name of politics, mm-hmm. but as a power struggle, because there's other things at stake here. So our guest yesterday, Nikolai Alexeyev, has been criticized by different bloggers for making what they say is anti-Semitic comments on his mm-hmm. blog. So we're going to talk to Andy Thayer, who has been touring with Alexeyev, to better understand what's going on here. Andy Thayer, are you there?
I am here on Manhattan.
So what exactly happened between Alexeyev and some of the organizers in California where they're trying to portray him as anti-Semitic? Is he going to California after all this?
He is going to California. We're lining up a few alternate venues. We expect to be able to make an announcement shortly. He has a lot of supporters out there. You know, we're going forward with a tour. This whole thing has been very unfortunate. One of the biggest unfortunate things about it is that the work of Gay Russia in terms of finally establishing the right of LGBTs in Russia to assemble without being arrested or attacked by the police and neo-fascists, that we could very well be on the eve of establishing that very important right for our people in Russia. And unfortunately, this controversy has been a big diversion from that.
Well, explain the controversy, because he had written something on his blog which had been interpreted as being anti-Semitic, and then the people in California withdrew their support of him coming out there.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that that this was something that was written back in late January that someone apparently sat on and then decided to translate in spring, just on the eve of his visit here, basically mm-hmm. to destroy the tour, I think. And I think
to what objective? To what end?
I think the you know, and I'll let Nikolai speak for himself. He is his own man. Mm-hmm. I would not presume to speak for him. I think that the wording was unfortunate, and to at least an American audience, it did sound like he was blaming all Jews. Now, that's not what he meant, but that's the way it came out. And what upset Nikolai was that he heard a story that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, was urging world support for Hosni Mubarak, the Egyptian dictator, right at the time that Mubarak was having his thugs mow people down in the streets of Cairo. And he, as well as I think anyone who supports human rights, was justifiably outraged about that. And he wrote this rant, and the wording, as I said, wasn't what I would certainly choose, and I don't think it was what the meaning that Nikolai intended. But it did sound anti-Semitic to many people. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you the quote right here. It says, yeah. The Israeli prime minister urged Western leaders to support Egyptian dictator Mubarak, and who after this are the Jews? In fact, I always knew who they were. Now, did he write this in Russian, and this is a translation into English? Or did he write this in English? And it doesn't make much sense to me.
He told me that part of the blog was in English and part was in Russian. I don't mm-hmm. know if that particular part was. It does sound translated or by a Google translator mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm. Does he refute this comment?
Well, he refutes.
I had to use that one on you, Andy.
thank you, Ms. Palin. He issued a statement tonight which was based on his comments at Columbia. Mm-hmm. The intent of his message was to take on the Netanyahu government and those who supported it. And I think that certainly, if that is the message one's intending to say, then that's at odds with what came out.
Well, why did the people in California, did they not have a discussion with Nikolai about what he meant about this?
No, they did not have a discussion with him.
And they just pulled the plug on him?
They appealed through me for a comment, and I had discussions with Nikolai. I certainly wish he had come out with this statement much earlier, but Nikolai is his own man, and I was not successful in persuading him to issue the statement. He was very angry because he believes that this whole thing was caused by Scott Long, with whom he's had a long-standing controversy. We received word that Scott Long tried to get our Columbia University appearance tonight canceled by appealing over the head of the person at the university who organized it.
Who is Scott Long?
Scott Long is the former LGBT director at Human Rights Watch, who was fired from Human Rights Watch after he was found to basically be doing a whispering campaign against Peter Tatchell, who's the world-famous LGBT campaigner based out of Britain. And actually, the Human Rights Watch was forced to apologize for that campaign, and they gave Long the sack. But where Nikolai comes in on this is that Nikolai was an early and very vocal defender of Mr. Tatchell against Long's campaign against him.
And so this is a vendetta that he thinks that Scott Long has against him.
You know, this blog, this very unfortunate blog, was something that appeared in late January. Now, if, you know, whoever sprung it, and we do believe it was Long, whoever sprung it, if they were truly concerned about anti-Semitism, why didn't they raise it right then? What they did was they sat on it and decided to spring it at a time where they could do the maximum damage to Nikolai's work for gay Russia. And it has been, very damaging.
Could this person be that vindictive that they would do something like this when you're fighting for...
Oh, gosh, have you ever met any gay politicos? how naive can you be?
What is it about that criticizing politicians starts to become an attack on all the people of a country or all the ethnicities of a country? I mean, I have family who has lived in Israel, and there are many Israelis and Jewish people all over the world that criticize the leadership of Israel.
Right.
That's not anti-Semitic.
More criticism of Israel, I've heard many, many times from people who've lived there, more criticism of the Israeli government by people within Israel than you hear within the United States.
But see, I think also people criticize leadership in LGBT circles or criticize campaigns' effectiveness as attacking all gay people too. And I think it's disingenuous of all these bloggers that are writing about this, who are ignoring Alexeyev's tour until now, are starting to write about it.
One of the California organizers, head of a rabbi in Southern California, said on the one conference call that I was able to participate in that being anti-Zionist equals being anti-Semitic. In other words, if you oppose the land grabs of the Israeli state on behalf of Jews-only property, as opposed to everyone gets to live wherever the hell they want, then you are by definition anti-Semitic, which is such a right-wing position within the Jewish polity. I mean, there's just tons and tons of individual Jews and Jewish major Jewish organizations that do not sign up for that viewpoint of what constitutes anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's some of the range of opinion you're dealing with, unfortunately, here.
And, you know, it's like, is it even anti-Zionist to say, you know, maybe this policy is not in the best interest of even Israel itself?
Yeah, well, but also, I mean, there's all this, and I'm, again, I'm speaking on behalf of myself here. I'm not going to put words in anyone's mouth.
Sure.
But, you know, in this country, we go and protest against those who are trying to turn this into a Christian nation, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And tons of people have got problems with the notion of a national entity considering itself a Muslim nation, because in those instances, those who do not subscribe to that particular religious view are second-class citizens in those countries. So how can we say that a state that defines itself as being a Jewish democracy can really be a democracy for all of its people?
Well, that certainly is a controversial statement to
make. It is, and that's why I prefaced it by saying that this is my viewpoint.
But I
think that people, regardless of religion, should be able to live where they want to. And the whole notion of setting up this land is only going to be for people of this group, I find inherently offensive.
Well, and to be clear, though, too, Nikolai hasn't really taken a position on that.
No,
he was just referring to...
I'm speaking for myself here.
But he was referring to Israel's support of Mubarak.
Yeah, but understand that, that he was referring to Israel's support of Mubarak at a time when this guy was literally mowing people, his own people down in the streets, where certainly world opinion, and I would venture probably majority Jewish opinion in the world, is that this is screwed up.
This is wrong.
And why is the United States, I mean, this is the other thing, why are American bullets killing people in the streets of Cairo?
And so this quote was taken out of context, probably translated oddly through Google Translate, and then used as a tool to thwart his Nikolai's agenda of coming here to highlight LGBT rights in Russia by people that have a vendetta against him.
And no financial benefit to Nikolai Alexeyev. He's not being paid for any of these appearances.
He's not getting any honorariums.
No, not a penny.
That's not the purpose. He is not paid for his human rights work. He works a regular job like many of us do and devotes what spare time he does to organizing with his colleagues in gay Russia.
Why would any gay rights activist in this country want to stop that?
Well, I mean, in terms of Scott Long... Really, this goes back to the whole vendetta that he had against Peter Tatchell and frankly, anyone else who acted as an independent actor. Scott Long tried to set himself up as basically the gatekeeper for all things international LGBT and didn't exactly appreciate that people like Nikolai and Peter Tatchell are people who are going to make their own decisions about what campaigns to pursue in connections with the people that are affected in those countries. I mean, this is the problem with this whole NGO structure of activism in this country is that you have this over concern with fiefdoms and maintaining six-figure salaries and expensive overhead. You got to feel like you own a piece of a corner of activism so as to justify this ridiculous amounts of money spent on your salaries and everything else. I mean, I think I look at just how dysfunctional our activism, so-called, in this country is, where it seems like in order for an issue to be addressed, you've got to have a six-figure CEO, you've got to have a fancy office, and by the way, you got to treat your line workers in those organizations like crap and your volunteers like crap. Gosh, have we ever heard of this story in the city of Chicago, let alone other cities around the country? You contrast that.
Hold
model.
On a second, I got a cough. H R C. Sorry. Keep going.
Well, NGLTF for that matter. It's a hipper version of HRC. Big whoop. The point is that you contrast that kind of activism, so-called, And the disastrous results it's reaped over and over again in these statewide referenda we've had, I mean, California 8 and Maine's Question 1 being the worst, you contrast that model of activism with not only what people like Nikolai and Peter Tatchell are doing, but with what Harvey Milk et al. Did back in the day in California, where they actually won a statewide referendum. Woo-hoo! Back in the late 70s, they did something that these fools with their six-figure salaries and their fancy offices, their high-paid Democratic Party-associated consultants can't do. I mean, it's just for all the people who watch the movie Milk, can't they see the contrast between then and today and how effective that kind of model of activism, or the model of activism we saw, say, in ACT UP was, versus the bullshit, pardon my French, that we see today.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe hopefully in about 20 or 30 years from now, James Franco will play Nikolai Alexeyev in a movie and then show up to the Oscars again and not care about things. Well, so you guys are going to make it to California. You're not going to let this stop you?
Yes, we're not going to let it stop us. We'll if need be, we'll do more modest events in more modest locations, but we're going to California, as well as Dallas and Fort Worth in a couple of days here.
You're friends with Robin Tyler.
Yeah.
Who's speaking out against Nikolai Alexeyev.
Yeah.
How's your interplay with you're sort of like caught in the middle of these two individuals, right?
That's right. That's right. And
so what does Robin have to say?
Well, I mean, she's saying it, and she's for canceling that portion of the tour, and you know, I've just got to say that I disagree.
This must be terribly disappointing.
Yes, it is disappointing, because I have worked with Robin
for years, right?
Campaigns, and you know, we'll see if the friendship survives this. It's going to be rough.
Is it a situation where people feel like, you know, because Robin Tyler is Jewish, and so she feels like the stink or the possibility of being associated with anti-Semitism is strong enough for her to pull out any support that she has for this?
Well, I think she believes truly in what she's doing, and I, you know...
Do you feel as though she's misinformed?
Well, I don't think she knows the full backstory in terms of this, you know. I mean, just look at how this popped. I think it's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't try and speak for Robin any more than I'll try and speak for Nikolai.
Well, I guess, I'm just trying to make sense of what's going on here, because it seems like people that have been allies for years, and you and Robin have worked successfully to... with StopDrLaura.com, all of a sudden, she's doing a 180-degree thing based on what one person said about a translation who's really has a personal vendetta against Nikolai Alexeyev, and this is not really based on any facts or reality.
But also, too, let's be very clear that there's...
I think the you know, and I'm speaking just for myself, right. Not Nikolai, I think the wording was wrong.
And also, you know, too, I just want to put this out there, too, people understand the context, though, so maybe a Jewish person, there has been a long, long, long history in Russia of anti-Semitism.
Absolutely.
And so if you're a Jewish person, you may know that, and so you might have a visceral reaction to a statement like this.
Yeah, well, so. And the way I would see it is that I think that, yes, the history, and Nikolai has told me that anti-Semitism is rife in Russia, not unlike, you know, racism against African Americans is rife in this country. And I'm speaking for myself here. I don't think that there is a white person in the United States that is not infected to one degree or another with anti-black racism. Then it's a question of whether you fight against it, you know, this lower brainstem bullshit, that because we're suffused by this damned culture. That it's a question whether you fight it, and I think it's in terms of anti-Semitism, it's a similar picture in Russia.
Well, thank you so much for you guys' time, and you know, hopefully we can overcome any kind of disagreements that we have with that. We all can agree on the fact that we want to see people in Moscow celebrate gay pride, and by having this individual Nikolai Alexeyev, who represents the gay rights organization of Russia, be able to speak about this, I think it's a support of equality, and it's not an endorsement of anything else.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Hey, and you know, and these people are more than welcome to come on this program and talk about it to us. It's like, if you guys disagree with this approach that Mark and I have had on the show, why don't you actually, if you're truly interested in having a conversation, a dialogue of ideas, and may the best idea win, why not have a neutral discussion with people? Why just unilaterally put out blog entries and close the door to any kind of discussion
And say this is the facts and that's the way it is. Andy, what I would like to, I would like the original in Cyrillic if I could, the original the original, because I'll have a translate.
We have a lot of listeners who speak are fluent in Russian.
And this is the whole thing is that, you know, the blog was erased, you know, many days ago. I don't know, perhaps even weeks ago. And so someone sat on this thing and decided, I'm gonna pop it. You know?
Was the blog erased because of this comment?
I think it was erased. I don't know if it was this particular. I wouldn't be able to comment on that. I mean, I really don't know. I suspect it probably was, but you know, it was not. It doesn't represent Nikolai's true feelings on the subject.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. I know you guys have had an exhausting day, and
3 hours sleep last night.
Yeah. Well, take some vitamin C.
Okay.
And where are you guys going to be going next now? You're in New York City?
We're doing, tomorrow night we're doing the LGBT Center in New York.
That's today.
Okay. Don't let Michael Lucas
know.
That
is today, isn't it?
Yeah, so Michael Lucas.
Don't tell him.
Don't tell Michael Lucas you're going to be there.
Oh, gosh. Really?
You know?
Really?
Or if you do, reach out to him and say, this is not what we
just
meant.
Reach out to him and say, listen, you know, we want to make a discussion. We want to have Jewish people involved.
He shut something down like 2 weeks ago that they said smacked of anti-Semitism. So, and he's a Russian Jew himself.
Yeah, and a porn star, and a gay rights advocate too.
Maybe he'll show you his dick. So you better invite him.
I won't show him mine except for if I charge double his.
Well, everybody's seen his dick in the movie Star Booty starring RuPaul.
That's the only time I've seen it.
So you guys are in New York, and then after that you're
Fort Worth,
Texas,
Dallas. And then on to California.
And people can find out where Nikolai Alexeyev and Andy Thayer's tour, Blitzkrieg Across America. Oh, that's not a good word, is it?
Don't use that term, please.
That's not a good word.
Okay. No.
Okay, so, but your tour across America, where can people find out more information about it?
Well, they can go to gayliberation.net. The information about California has not been updated yet. It has all the information about our remainder in New York as well as Dallas and Fort Worth. And we'll be updating the stuff about California just as soon as it becomes available. But we are going to California.
All right. California, here I come.
With a banjo on my knee. Bye, Andy. Thank you.
Thanks
a lot, guys.
Andy Thayer, you heard him yesterday on our interview with Nikolai Alexeyev, who's fighting to bring the first official gay pride celebration to Russia and to bring Elton John to be the Grand Marshal.
As soon as I read this article and I saw that quote, I was like, this is a Google Translate, and I know it doesn't. I know it's not translated well.
Well, you know, and the other thing too, and I said this to Nikolai Alexeyev, you catch more flies with honey than you do, you know, you may be right.
Right.
But at the same time, just entertain people in their opinions and ideas, and then you can start having a discussion. A discussion doesn't mean that my opinion is wrong and your opinion is right, is what I'm saying. I'm trying to better understand where you are coming from as a person so we can come together to find some common ground.
My guess, and I'm not going to speak for him, he can say it for himself, is my guess is he was probably saying, you know, why are they supporting this dictator? You know, the Jewish people have had a history of living under really harsh dictators before. Shouldn't they know better?
Yeah.
Now, would I consider that an anti-Semitic remark? No.
No, and it's not anti-Semitic. It's pro-Semitic. Mm-hmm. Because when you're fighting for equality, mm-hmm. everyone wins.
Yes.
The people of Israel, if they really, truly believe in what Israel represents mm-hmm. and stands for, you want to fight for equality mm-hmm. in your nation. Mm-hmm. You want to make it a democracy mm-hmm. because then nobody is oppressed.
Because could we have had a gay rights movement had we not had the civil rights movement? I don't think so. If we had like the women's movement, you know, both of these things have impacted us greatly, and we couldn't be doing what we are to do today if we did not have that foundation. And there's going to be people, you know, 100 years from now fighting for other things that wouldn't have been able to do it without LGBT rights.
I want my grandchildren's grandchildren to be complaining about Snooki's brain in the year 2023 that she is ruining it for everyone. You know, it's like, to me, I think it's a sign of progress when people are complaining about things, such really trivial, superficial things as like, oh, the drag queens are embarrassing us at a gay pride parade. You know, over there in Russia, the you have to dress up as drag queen in order to infiltrate to have gay pride celebration. In Russia, gay pride parade marches on you.
What a country.
I know, I'm Yakov Smirnoff now.
That's it. Listen, he's a classic from the 80s.
I know.
Dust off that chestnut.
Where is Yakov?
I think he's in Branson, Missouri, no?
Yeah, he actually is kind of like conservative.
Oh, is he really?
He's a Republican.
Oh my gosh. Is he even Russian?
Yeah, he's from Russia.
He's really from Russia.
Oh, and you know, listen, this is, the show is called Feast of Fun, honey. Yeah. It's not called Feast of
What else fun
Misery
happened?
And Corbin Fisher suing gay
teeny boppers.
Yeah, their main target is the young... So this is an adult film company mm-hmm. whose main demographic is young men, mm-hmm. making fantasy films about young men having sex with each other and marketing and aiming them at young people who really cannot afford to buy their films. Mm-hmm. So it's not a very...
So they steal them.
They steal them off of the internet. And they've been literally doing what the RIAA is doing and just blind shooting anybody they can. Mm-hmm. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Shoot in the barrel.
And basically threatening with extortion young gay men who may or may not be in the closet to pay a settlement or face
$1,000.
Of $1,000, or now they're raising it.
But the thing is, like, what kind of proof do they have? Oh, like, you think you got it from this server? Well, how do I know that that's my server? That could be somebody else's IP. Maybe somebody has got onto my wireless. How do you get it now? But the thing is, though, too, they're saying pay us $1,000 and we won't rat you out. Are they just hoping that people feel guilty? Like, oh, I'm going to give them $1,000? Because I'm guessing they can't track them.
Well, the other thing, too, it just costs $1,000 in a lawyer just to defend yourself.
Yeah.
So what they're really doing is, you know, listen, we won't watch your stupid porn videos and now you're going to make us pay for them. Mm-hmm. That's basically what they're doing. I couldn't care less about Corbin Fisher. I don't think it's necessarily they're handsome, attractive models. I went to their website. It's not something I would pay for. I don't give a damn about it, you know, but I bet they wouldn't mess with us. But, you know, they could send us a legal notice tomorrow. And it's like we would have to spend $1,000 in legal fees to defend ourselves against falsely stealing their videos. I've never stolen any porn off of their site or anything like that. This is their attorney, Mark Randazza, when told how harmful the company's lawsuits could be for gay youth who might contemplate suicide or get kicked out of their homes over the film's company's greed. They said, "These thieving little shits who get caught can very easily lie to their parents that he was looking at straight porn." When their parents look and, you know, as if any parent is going to think, oh, my son was looking at straight porn. I guess those are misunderstandings.
Well, I would definitely like to see what kind of where this all plays out. Are people actually paying? You know, the company's going to be like, people have been paying. They know that they were wrong and they're going to be paying. I mean,
shame on any gay person listening to this and the sound of my voice that pays a penny to Corbin Fisher.
But you're not a lawyer, though. Don't give out legal advice.
Shame?
Well, just want to make that clear.
I'm not making any legal advice. Mm-hmm. I'm saying shame on people who support a company that profits and attacks their own demographic, I guess.
Just like the RIAA.
Do not sue your fans. If your fans are not willing to pay for your content, then change your business model. Mm-hmm. If your fans can access your content freely because of the change of technology, change your business model.
Got to keep ahead.
And if making, you know, the old business model is not working for you, then try a new business. It's just not good. Suing people is not the way out.
And we had a friend who was sued by the RIAA saying you stole music. And he was like, they gave him a list of all these songs. He's like, this is not music I would ever even listen to. Well, it was we found it like it could have been accessed through your server. We're like, yeah, but it wasn't. You have no idea where this music came from. Or you are just like trying to shoot fish. You're trying to, you know, see what sticks. You're throwing spaghetti at the wall. And eventually they dropped it. But they also like left a clause and they're like, we might bring charges back. You know, and they were offering him like these settlement, like pay $1,000 or pay $2,000. And he's just like, bullshit, I didn't do any of this.
I don't know if there's any kind of like nonprofit organizations raising funds to defend these people who are being sued by these type of ruthless RIAA style lawyers. But if anybody knows about them and can post the link on the website, we would appreciate it.
And I'm guessing like some parents might even just pay it off just because they don't want their kid to be outed or, you know, or embarrassed or have this kind of thing over their head.
But these kids are getting these emails or getting these letters and stuff. They might not even trust their parents are not going to kick them out. They might just kill themselves over greed. It is rotten to the core.
These people also have a right. Listen, if you're shaking your tallywhacker out there to make some money, you have the right to get paid for it. That's for sure.
Absolutely. But at the same time, if you can't get paid, it's like, you know, it's like a hooker on the street suing you because you didn't have sex with her. You know, it's like, it's a ludicrous thing. You know, you didn't consume their porn, you didn't download it, and yet possibly they'll still sue you anyways. That it's ridiculous. It's rotten to the core. It is wrong. And hopefully there is a nonprofit organization somewhere that is defending these individuals from these horrific companies, whether it's the RIAA or Corbin Fisher. And really, like any gay person and any blog or any website that associates themselves with Corbin Fisher are fools, in my opinion. You know, and it's like, it's wrong. And that is the last time we'll ever speak of them.
There you go.
Because that was your free publicity for Corbin Fisher. Because I know you all you horny guys out there are going to their website just to take a look at it.
Speaking of horny guys. So there's this reverend who is very famous for going down to the Southern Decadence Days in New Orleans, which they have, and the people go crazy. It's kind of like a gay Mardi Gras. They drink, they party, they get naked, and he's gone around. He's been, you know, a Christian fundamentalist, telling you're going to burn in hell.
He's anti-gay. Let me guess.
Yes.
Let me guess. He was caught having sex with another guy.
No. He actually was caught at a public park sitting in a van masturbating while looking at children. So now he's no longer part of the church and he's come out and said, you know, I apologize. I'm a hypocrite.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he said, I'm a hypocrite. And I don't know if he's like thinks gay is okay now, but masturbating to kids is. Or I have no idea where he's at, like in his state of mind. But
listen, admitting you have a problem as a hate monger is the first step towards healing.
That's true.
Like Charlie Sheen
and Eddie Long, the from Atlanta,
the anti-gay black pope of Atlanta.
I saw a video of he's got a program that he has these late night ministry where it's for men to come together and to pray.
I hope he has some good
men only
settle out of court because he already settled out of court with some other guys. And he's
how much they got.
I don't know, man. Because I think they stole his iPad. Or his iPhone to get evidence.
Oh, they did? Is that how they did it?
That's how they did it. They got, like, you know, all the evidence out of it. And he's like, I'm being, you know, persecuted for...
And he's just like, we need to put this behind us and move forward into the glory of God.
So all those people who are getting the new iPad coming out today, so we don't know. I guess make sure that you put a password protection if you're Eddie Long.
Yes, if you're Eddie Long. What's happened on the Martin Sheen front?
Oh, so
how crazy is he now?
My favorite line he's saying, he's just going on every single talk show. I wrote to him on Twitter asking him if he'll come on our podcast.
What he said.
Hasn't responded, but should I give this out?
Yes.
Randall. From you know, Honey Badger Don't Care.
Honey Badger Don't Give a Shit.
He'll come on the show.
Awesome.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
Honey Badger does care. But anyways, so Charlie Sheen is going on every single talk show he can. Mm-hmm. His publicist quit, saying he could no longer work effectively with Charlie Sheen as his publicist. He's now on taken to the internet, and you can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, who needs a publicist when you have Twitter?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he's not tweeting that much.
He said that he was offered to go on Nancy Grace, and he said he'd rather go drive around in a 75 Pinto with the producer from Three and a Half Men. Also, too, I guess that one of the scripts that they're not going to use now since they've canceled the show is that he was going to go out and party all night with a gay guy and wind up in bed together with him the next morning and not remember a thing.
Of all the interviews that he's done, I think my favorite one is him on Good Morning America. We're going to put up a link to it on the site. I've worked for somebody who's abused speed, crystal meth, cocaine. His physical mannerisms, the color of his skin being bright blood red, is indicative of someone who has been abusing these types of drugs. He might have been huffing on a popper's bottle before she showed up. That's how he looks like. So let me play to you some of it. It's intense.
Passion, my passion. It's all passion.
Okay, your passion is coming off as erratic
right.
to people.
Right, well, you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard, yeah. Because it just, it fires in a way that is, I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
I think some of those things that you're putting out there are making people think something's wrong with you.
That has nothing to do with me, really. I mean, they're entitled to, I suppose, interpret stuff as they must.
Some
are, doctor of?
What some are saying
of?
That you're bipolar.
Wow, what does that mean?
I guess that, you know, you're on two ends of the spectrum.
Wow, and then what? What's the cure? Medicine? Make me like them? Not gonna happen. I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
Oh, I'm a bi winner, not a bi loser.
What does that mean?
I'm a bi winning. He's winning here, he's winning there, I'm winning everywhere. That's amazing. Charlie Sheen is amazing. You know, he actually is coming to his senses. He's saying that Two and a Half Men is a piece of shit TV show.
You know what? Somebody was looking at me the other day like I was crazy because I said I've never seen an episode of it. And I watch TV, I just don't really watch sitcoms. I just haven't watched a sitcom since Friends went off the air. What? Don't look at me like that.
I love sitcoms. I grew up on sitcoms. Listen, Roseanne.
I used to love Roseanne, too.
Excellent, excellent television
show. Seinfeld. Love Seinfeld.
Excellent.
I love Cosby in the early years.
Yes. I mean, so listen, the medium can be done well.
Do I watch any sitcoms right now? I don't think I do.
Well, it depends. If you're laughing or you're just kind of watching.
No.
I think Law & Order is a sitcom, but...
Mm-mm.
When Kathy Griffin was on Law and Order, did you not laugh?
Oh, you when I watch Supernatural, you're like, this is they're making a joke out of this. This is a sitcom.
It is a sitcom.
Maybe it is a.
Maybe the lines being blurred. You know,
yes.
They're by winning everywhere, people.
By winning.
That's the word. That's the phrase of 2011.
Is that the name of the show?
By winners. We are by winners.
By winners.
I'm a by winner. I'm not a by loser like you. speaking of by losers, Christina Aguilera.
Oh, poor Christina got
poor
arrested.
Christina.
She got arrested for being intoxicated in a car. She was driving with her boyfriend,
in quotation marks,
who was driving erratically, and he was pulled over, and I think he got charged with driving under the influence, and she was so wasted that they had to take her into custody, too.
Michael K. from Delisted, the police chose, out of kindness and respect, not to release her mugshot. But E! Entertainment managed to get a snapshot of it from a video camera.
Oh, really?
And they delisted Michael K. said, she looks like an albino snooki that was just fished out of the jacuzzi after almost drowning from trying to give head underwater.
Wow. Well, I don't think it's really head she likes to give. She was in WeHo, which we, you know, in case you
West
don't know,
Hollywood.
Is West Hollywood, where that's where all the gay bars are. And she has been rumored to go in there and look for girls because she likes to play around with girls, too.
She's a bi winner.
She's a bi winner.
And not a bi loser.
What?
You know, I just feel so sad and sorry for James Franco and Anne Hathaway because I wanted them to succeed. And you know, but I think they were put in a situation for the Oscars that was out of their ability and that did not focus on their strengths as creative people.
Well, the stuff in the beginning, you know? When they did the video montage, the pre-recorded stuff was all fun, and that was good, and you thought it was going to be fantastic, and then the old guy came out, and then that person did the F-bomb, and they're like, oh my God, what's happening?
Oh my God, Charlie Sheen just, right now, breaking news, just posted his third tweet with a photo of him holding a Oscars cake with gold frosting, yes, gold frosting, with the Oscar statue, and the head on top of it is his Charlie Sheen's head. Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
Charlie is the Oscar.
Send that to Cake Rex.
Oh, yes. First person to send it to Cake Rex.
Winners! Not a bye winner, not a bye loser.
I gotta send that right now.
So James Franco and Anne Hathaway are rumored that they are not talking to each other, and they're pissed off at each other because both of them felt like the other one ruined the show.
Because he's like, I want to be sedate, and you went crazy. And she's just like, I was trying to entertain, and you were, like, stoned or something. She still wants to fuck him.
Yeah.
You know she does.
I still, after all that, I still want to have sex with James Franco.
Yeah.
Happily.
Mm-hmm.
I would still, in drag, or out of drag.
You in drag or him in drag?
Either way. Listen, people, it doesn't matter what you wear, just as long as you are there.
It takes a drag village.
Can everybody dance around the world?
Hey, I want to remind
people,
we got t-shirts for sale. We have our Feast of Fun t-shirts are now in three styles. We have a black V-neck. We also have navy blue crew neck and brown crew neck.
That's right. Navy blue, black, or brown, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the t-shirts of the Feast of Fun. Isn't that nice?
I want to draw your attention to a new blog, too. Somebody just posted on our Fresh section, feastoffun.com/fresh, and their friend started a blog, and it's Paula Deen writing things. So it's just, you know, pictures of Paula Deen cut out, and she's writing things like Lady Gaga, kittens flying through the sky, the Loch Ness Monster, caterpillars.
Paula Deen is like writing in frosting or something?
They've cut her out and she's riding on stuff.
Oh, she's like a passenger on the back of a.
There's also another thing too. I'll try and blog it today. Paula Deen was partying and she was drinking some wine, and then the next thing you know, it looks like she's doing body shots off this dude's stomach, and then she's down on the ground. You're like, Paula Deen's, she's just like, I'm going out big.
Atta girl.
Ever since that, she got hit in the head with that ham, she's just never been the same.
You know what it was? It was like Freaky Friday. She switched spirits with some gay man that was near her. And he's like, I'm in Paula Deen's body. I'm going to live it up. Yeehaw! I'm a bi winner, not a bi loser.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then Jane Russell just passed away.
Oh, no.
Aww. So who is Jane Russell? She was best known for her fabulous performance in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, where she co-starred with Marilyn Monroe and did this wonderful performance with the men's Olympic team, which I think it wasn't the Olympic team. It was some dancers. But she sang, Is There Anyone Here for Love? And all these hunks in the room could not care less about Jane Russell.
And their bathing suits or their bottom trunks were kind of like nude colored. So they kind of come off as nude. So she's among this nude guys and she's saying, anybody here for love? And they're all like, I don't care. They're pumping muscles. They're doing gymnasts. They're swimming.
Is there anybody here for love? Not unless you're into necrophilia. Because she's dead. And Jane Russell would have thought that
she
was funny.
She was a comedian. 89.
Well,
so she must have been older than Marilyn Monroe. I can't believe Marilyn Monroe would be that old, right?
Marilyn Monroe, they're about the same age, so yeah.
Do you think she would have been 89?
I know. Goodbye, Jane Russell. Though I never knew you at all, I like to watch you in that one movie, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind. I'm too busy to come up with lyrics, so I'm just singing the same song.
So Marilyn Monroe was born in 1926, so she'd be pretty close to that, huh?
Wow. Oh. And last but not least, what happened with Scott Herman?
Oh, yeah. So
Scott
Herman.
And all these people gossiping about his sexuality.
Scott Herman from Scott Herman Fitness, who does YouTube videos and blogs on our site. Yes. And he was on Real World Brooklyn. You know, he's a very handsome man, and he's a super big supporter of gay equality. And he... just, he's been phenomenal to us, and we really like him personally. And he, somebody. And
let's face it, you know, most gay men
would love to have sex with him.
Would cut off the right arm to have sex with him.
And so somebody has gone, and I'll have to say too, like one of the common search terms on our site is Scott Herman gay. So
it's one of the top things.
So people come to our site because they're looking for some Scott Herman
gay. Come for the Scott Herman gay, stay for the fun.
Absolutely. And so somebody went and Googled his name, Scott Herman gay, and found every blog entry that might have intimated that he was gay.
Suggested.
And then printed it out. And put it all together and mailed it to Scott's grandmother. So his grandmother came to him like, Scott, this is a little weird. So I told Scott, I said, you know what, Scott? That's just not some weirdo fan. I'm like, that's got to be somebody you know.
Yeah,
so,
it's somebody, probably a jealous relative.
It's probably a jealous relative that's jealous of your handsome good looks, your killer body, your drive, which is the thing I respect about him most, is his drive and his determination.
Because he does exactly what we do, backwards and heels. You know, I mean, he manages to put out a daily video on his YouTube video channel, have a career, work full-time at a gym as a personal trainer and as a receptionist. Wouldn't you like to work out at that gym?
I know, right? I'm going to go work out at that gym.
It's somewhere in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
And manages to look fantastic while doing it backwards in heels.
And we want to thank you for listening to this podcast, Backwards in Heels, too, because we know you are.
You're looking in the mirror and you're going, gee, I didn't realize how pretty I would look in these heels and how they made my calves look so muscular.
And pop my booty out.
Ooh. We're going to leave you here with some... We're going to leave you here with some fantastic music. I like this song a lot. This is Brony from his album To Get Her Together. The song You Are My Friend, because you guys are our friends.
You are.
And no matter what religion or lack of religion or philosophical beliefs you are, we share one thing in common, and that is that Lady Gaga is fucking awesome.
She rules us all.
She rules us all. All hail Lady Gaga.
Mother Hubbard.
Awaiting further instructions. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
It's using me to get to you. The universe, it gets to you, my friend. You are my friend. When hope is gone, please don't give in. 'Cause it's not the end. Summer when you taught me how to nap. Sudden cheer tends to lead to lethargy. And you plus me tends to lead to you and me. How's that? Cricket's not my favorite sport, but I must admit that I've been caught getting excited while catching someone out. But outside of all my glimmers, all my moments and all my ideas, I have always known just what I want. You can try to sway me with fancy fonts, but man, even when I'm beaten, and even when I look defeated, I'll never stop because I'm the vessel and you, you are my friend. When hope is gone, please don't give in, 'cause it's not the end, it's not. Positive flux of vibrational chemistry. Though we were born from a different mother, no blood involved, you are still my brother. It's no wonder that we came from this here conclusion. Fist bumped involved without the bruising. I never come to losing you as a friend. I got your back until we transcend and beyond to the very next level. Will God be involved or are we in trouble? Now in my beliefs we created each other. Magnetic to magic, created from static. With all of our laughter, what else even matters?
brothers. Are you hearing me, bro? That's why we rock the show. And if there's an end, we are not two men, only living the now. And now you are my friend.